From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. The small cruise ship season has started in Juneau, and the visitor industry is gearing up for it, though it's not clear how many people are coming. Dan Blanchard runs a small ship cruise company called UnCruise. He told members of the Juneau Assembly on Monday that their Alaska season started sooner than they'd expected after Washington State's COVID-19 protocols interfered with the company's planned trips.
You may have heard that we got shut down in Washington State, shut us down and shut every other company down along the Columbia River, a tremendous economic challenge for all of us.
Blanchard said the company pivoted and moved its boat and the guests booked on those sailings to Juneau. That boat will be joined by five other UnCruise boats soon. Blanchard said they'll have six boats operating out of Juneau, each carrying less than 100 passengers. He estimates they'll bring between 5,000 and 6,000 people to town this year, and all of those people must be vaccinated according to company policy.
When we pivoted to fully vaccinated crew and passengers, the phones went off the hook. So I think that's just good things to keep in mind when we think about vaccinated businesses.
There are three other small ship operators planning to stop in Juneau this summer, including the UnCruise boats. There will be more than a dozen vessels making port calls. And the Admiralty Island Village of Angoon has received nearly $2 million in federal funding to build a visitor center. The relief money is meant to combat economic impacts brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. As KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports, local leaders hope it will boost a homegrown cultural tourism industry.
Angoon doesn't get big cruise ships, even in non-pandemic times. But they still normally see a small but steady stream of tourists in the summer. There are a handful of fishing lodges and a couple of small boats bringing visitors to the island community of around 500. There aren't a lot of services for the visitors who do come, which is one of the reasons local leaders applied for funding to build a visitor center, says Melissa Kukesh.
You know, a place for people to go, a place for people to be able to get coffee or a small snack, you know, while they're in town, and having restrooms available.
Kukesh is the board chair for Kutsunuu Incorporated, Angoon's local native corporation. She says Kutsunuu, the city, and Angoon's tribal government have been working together for the past couple of years to figure out what a community-led eco and cultural tourism industry could look like locally. They found out at the end of April that they'd received a competitive $1.78 million grant from the Economic Development Association, or EDA. They'll use the money to build a 2,000-square-foot visitor and retail center, which Kukesh says could also serve as a cultural hub for the community.
I'm excited about the opportunity to have, you know, dance groups in a visitor center performing, but also learning, being able to learn their songs, learn the history of the songs, being able to sell, you know, items that they've made and that they worked really hard on, you know, with beading, weaving, carving.
So far, Angoon is one of nine Alaska grantees to receive a piece of the $1.5 billion allocated to the EDA from the CARES Act to help communities hard hit by the coronavirus pandemic. Other grantees include the Alaska Travel Association and a workforce development program in Fairbanks. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Economic Development, Craig Burstadi, says the need in Angoon is great. The 24-month unemployment rate is more than double the national average.
So many communities have been hit hard, particularly in travel and tourism, but Angoon especially.
But it's not just local need that made their applications stand out. He says they also demonstrated strong community support and a lot of potential.
It has a great natural asset in its geography, the land, the water, and it has been attracting tourists for some time. And we just want to build on that capacity with a new visitor center.
Kukesh says this is just one piece of a broader effort to grow local tourism. The community has also received funding to expand a trail and create an app-based cultural and historical walking tour, for example. She says it's not only an opportunity to bring economic development to Angoon, it's a chance to share the natural beauty and local culture with the world.
Being able to tell the history, but also just telling it from our perspective. and, you know, the resiliency of our community and how we're still there and, you know, just trying to thrive and flourish and be able to tell our story from our perspective.
The project planning is still in the preliminary stages, and she says they'll look to youth, elders, and all community members for ideas as it progresses. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
In other news, the proposal to tamp down on the sale and use of fireworks in Juneau is headed to a public hearing and final vote. It could take effect before the 4th of July. The initial draft Assemblymember Michelle Hale introduced in February was very restrictive. It attempted to ban sales altogether and banned using fireworks, even sparklers, in most populated parts of Juneau 361 days of the year. The version that emerged from the committee on Monday is a lot more permissive. First, sales. In this version, they're allowed with a city permit in more remote parts of Juneau, and there's a carve-out for federally recognized tribes. The pop-up fireworks shop the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska started last year along Fish Creek Road won't need a city permit. Now for the fireworks themselves. The biggest, boomiest types of fireworks that are legal to sell in Alaska are called mines and shells. They're shot out of a mortar. Regular people could use these only around New Year's and 4th of July and only outside of the city's fire service area. As far as what's accessible by road, that basically leaves a few miles north of Douglas Highway, a few miles of Fish Creek Road, and out the road past Cohen Drive. Small-scale fireworks like fountains and sparklers would be fair game to use in town year-round before 10 p.m. For noisier fireworks like firecrackers, Roman candles, and bottle rockets, they'd be okay year-round outside of the fire service area. Around the 4th of July and New Year's, they'd be okay in town, too. Some assembly members worried the new policy is too complicated. Assembly member Greg Smith worked on a lot of the policy's revisions.
I think there is a way to communicate the type, time, and location details to the public in a digestible way. I think we have a path here towards a good compromise that will not make everyone happy.
Assemblymember Lauren Jones had a very dim outlook of how it will play out.
I have been in this town, and they are not going to stop the fireworks, and it's going to boom off West Juneau and into my bedroom, fired off the beach, and nothing you put in this ordinance is going to fix it. So I am a no vote. I think we have overcomplicated this, and it should be a complete ban. That's the only thing that's enforceable.
Jones thinks fireworks users will ignore the rules. It'll be burdensome for police, and fireworks complaints will keep filling assembly members' inboxes. The full assembly plans to hear the ordinance initially tonight, then hold a public hearing and final vote on May 24th. If the assembly sticks to its timeline, the new fireworks rules would take effect 11 days before the 4th of July. And authorities in Ketchikan have for the first time raised the community's pandemic risk level to its highest mark. That's as at least three COVID-19 clusters, including one centered on the local high school, are driving case numbers to heights Ketchikan has never seen. Officials are asking residents to slow the spread of COVID-19, asking restaurants, bars, personal services, and gyms to close, and encouraging telework in other settings. But the emergency officials noted that each organization, quote, must evaluate these recommendations against the anticipated impacts on operations and decide on appropriate actions to take, end quote. Pandemic response officials say vaccination rates for employees, staff, and customers may be a mitigating factor. Ketchikan's Emergency Operations Center says recommendations for vaccinated people will remain the same. Essentially, that's business as usual, with the exception of large gatherings, which are discouraged. As of Tuesday, officials say one person is currently admitted to the COVID-19 unit at Ketchikan's hospital. Some 77 cases are active in the community, and 65 have been reported in the past week. Ketchikan's positivity rate is at 4.43%. That's a record high. Two schools are set to close to in-person learning for the rest of the week. Acting Ketchikan School District Superintendent Katie Parrott asked community members to self-screen for COVID-19 symptoms prior to venturing outside the home and to get vaccinated if they aren't already. A wide variety of public facilities are also set to close to the public. For more on this and other news stories, go to KTOO.org. This is KTOO News.